Hello and welcome to Dublin Arsenal Review Show. I'm your host, Jonathan Giles. On tonight's show, Monday, November the 10th, I'm joined by show regulars Eamon Donnelly and David Sims to review our 2-2 draw against Sunderland at the Stadium of Light on Saturday evening. And remember, our next Premier League fixture against fierce and local rival Spurs will be live on Sky Sports Premier League at 4:30 November 23rd. So check out our supporters club in the River Bear on the day for all the pre and post-match atmosphere. So sit back and enjoy tonight's show. As I said, first of all, I'm joined by my regular guests. First of all, does turn 60. Eamon Donnelly, looking fresh faced, not a day over 59. How are you, pal?
Evening, Jonathan. Evening, David. I was reading there that the Pope, he loves stray cats. He's a Roman Catholic. We're all good.
How does it feel to be 60?
Well, I tell you what, I was just saying to you in the intro, when I logged on, I went for a cure yesterday to watch the late game Man City and Liverpool. And I can tell you, going for a cure in your 60s is a different episode than going for a cure in your 40s. I think it was worse after about 4 points than I had been in the night before, yeah. It'll be a great party. A lot of the Dublin Arsenal lads were down there, and it was great to see them all. They called out to my door on Saturday morning. I think this is worth referencing. They called out to my door on Saturday morning, Martin Stumble and Derek, and they gave me a beautiful framed collage with a Liam Brady signed jersey
Oh, lovely.
and the thing I love dearest, the preserved front of the old East Stand at Highbury, really, really quality now. I'm very grateful to that, for that, and
You must show us that later on, maybe, Eamon, if you get a chance. Be nice.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, be nice to see it.
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, that's lovely. Yeah, and happy at 60 to you, Eamon. Of course, this coming Friday, it will be Mr. Meltdown himself, Craig Smith's 30th birthday party. So
He's a great lad, Craig,
I say, what, he's turning 30, so he's heading into a new era in his life. So things are only on the up.
He's a top lad, Craig,
Yeah. And I'm also joined by Mr. Score Guy himself, David Sims, who was at a Ray Parlour dinner there on Thursday, drinking a pint of the black stuff there. How are you, David? Was it good?
It was very good, actually. I really felt it afterwards, but it was a good do. Ray's on quality. He was on our table, which we're very lucky that we had him
Yeah.
on our table with just nine of us. And his stories are unbelievable. Can't really say any of them, repeat any of them here, but he had a life of it with and Alan Smith was there as well, which was great. It was a yeah. Who else was there? Alan Brazil was there, so you can imagine it was lots of drinking going on, and managed to do some tequila shots with Ray, which was something I'd always wanted to do. And then yesterday I realized that maybe I shouldn't have done that because my head was really quite bad. But no, it was good fun. It's good fun.
Also, just to note, today is another special day in the calendar. Jens Lehmann turned 56 today, part of the incredible invincible winning squad of 0304, of course. I suppose my favourite memory of him probably will be the penalty save against Villarreal, the save from Riquelme in the semi-final second leg that brought us to the final. Briefly, Eamon, what was your favourite memory of the man himself, Jens Lehmann?
I don't have one particular favorite memory, but I tell you what, to me, he's the best goalkeeper I've seen play for the Arsenal, and he was the start of that sweeper keeper years and years ahead of its time, and he took risks, and sometimes it didn't work out, and everybody said he's a clown and all of that, but he was getting positions on the pitch to turn games around 20 years before it became de rigueur, and I remember when he gave the penalty away against Robbie Keane, and then when we won the league at
Oh, yeah.
Die Hard Lane, and he was in the dressing room afterwards, and even though we'd won the league, he was distraught. I mean, that's the type of guy he was,
Yeah, he hated it.
quality guy, great goalkeeper, Great character. And I do remember one t-shirt on sale. David, when you head down past the tube station, just as you go on the corner, around the corner, and there's a t-shirt guy there, and it was Jens Lehmann, anger management skill. I just thought, quality.
Yeah, well, that's it, isn't it? I mean, yeah, my memories of him are collectively that I think it was to come from Seaman, who was very calm and, forthright in what he would do, and then suddenly to have Lehmann and to watch a goalkeeper berate his defense and push him around and, really make them work for him. And if they got anything wrong, he'd go over them and barge their shoulders and have a go at our own players. I mean, he was, yeah, I thought it was a real, it was amazing. It was amazing to see. Again, he concerned in the first, first few games when he kept on going, wandering away. But like you say, there was method in the madness and he knew what he was doing getting out the box. And, but yeah, he was great. I mean, it's a shame that it didn't work out, that obviously in the Champions League final there was various things that went on there, and and that was a real shame. I mean, I love the guy. I thought it's funny you say that. I was having this discussion, and we'll obviously lead into Sunderland at the weekend, but Rea's really picking up all the good points from all these old goalkeepers and bringing them through. And nobody's nobody. Everybody's nobody until they win a bit of silverware. So let's see where we end up. And but yeah, yeah. Happy birthday, Jens. You're a crazy German, that's for
Yeah.
sure.
Yeah, he's a crazy German, but what a goalkeeper he and definitely up there with some of the Arsenal great keepers that we've had. David Seaman and of course David Raya now be fast becoming a popular figure at the Gunners. Into our match review, of course, and Saturday evening 2-2 draw against Sunderland at the Stadium of Light. Dan Ballard and Brian Brobbey for Sunderland got their goals, and Bukayo Saka and Leandro Trossard for ourselves. The draw ended our 10-match unbeaten run.
Oh,
Our last
David.
goal to concede was Nick Faltomadi of Newcastle on September 28th. It was the last time we conceded a goal. It was 8 matches in all comps with no goals up until Saturday evening. Our former Arsenal Academy graduate Daniel Ballard scored the opening goal of the game with a powerful right-footed strike high into David Raya's top left-hand corner. Ballard also assisted Sunderland's equaliser when he got the flick on from Trey Hume that went into the path of Brian Brobbey, who hooked the ball over to David Raya for Sunderland's late equaliser, you could say. 7 minutes at a time in that game. We were quite unlucky when you look back on the highlights of match of the day. I was looking at when Dan Ballard gave an elbow in the face to Mikel Merino in the box. That should have been given, in my opinion, as a penalty. He tried to rough him up early, though, Ballard, and I thought we were lacking Victor Gyökeres on Saturday. I think he would have roughed up the Sunderland defence. Mikel Merino isn't that type of player, and with the injuries of Nani Madueke, Martin Odegaard, Kai Havertz, Gabriel Jesus, Gabriel Martinelli, and then Gyökeres himself going into that game, pretty much our whole forward line it was out, and you can see that's where the problem lay there. But I thought Declan Rice, he had a free kick then. That was well saved by the Dutch keeper Robin Roofs. We were talking in the preview show, Eamon, how good this lad was. Sunderland, it's their longest unbeaten run at home now in 15 years now, in the Premier League years, that is, so they were always going to be a tough nut to crack. I thought Granit Xhaka had a decent game as well, another ex-Gooner. In terms of the first goal, David Raya, no chance. It's a cracking right for the strike from Dan Ballard. I suppose if he'd done that 100 times over, probably would have went over. It was just one of them games. The second goal, we can see this. Zubimendi, he was just outfought by Dan Ballard. And I thought Raya probably could have done a bit better. But it was just one of those things. Probably just hooked it over him, and so we're gonna have these moments over the season, I think. In terms of our own goals, I thought the pressure on Enzo Lefebvre, Declan Rice done superbly, putting him under pressure, holding on to the ball too long, and the assist from Michael Merino into Bukayo Saka was just incredible, you know, and he barely just is finished, Bukayo Saka. Trossard's goal, what can you say outside the box? Absolute thunderous right-footed strike, high into Robin Roos' top right-hand corner. Keepers didn't stand a chance. And with the international break coming up, and if you were given a midterm report up to now, I think Leandro Trossard would be my standout player in the first 3 months of the season. He's done that well. He's just excelled and excelled and excelled. I thought we were just really, we had our chances as well. Eberechi Eze, Zubimendi shot that hit the crossbar. We even had a chance himself in the second half that just went wide of the posts. Same with Bukayo Saka. We had our chances to win the game, you know, even up to the equaliser from Saka. But I don't want to come on to yourself, Eamon. Disappointing to get a draw when I thought, you know, we deserved to win it. What was your analysis of the game, Eamon?
Disappointed to get a draw when you're 2-1 up in injury time, but I
Yeah.
think Sunderland were worth their point, you know.
Yeah.
I think Sunderland brought a lot of physicality to the game,
Yeah.
and sometimes, I mean, I noticed even your own, and it was just an error you made there, but it just shows you the mindset. You said it brought an end to our unbeaten run. It didn't. We didn't get beaten,
Oh, sorry,
and
it's
sometimes. Yeah,
not.
exactly. Well, it just shows you the way people are thinking, right? And that's not me having a little dig. It shows you the way people are thinking. It feels like a defeat when you don't win a game, but you can't win every game. And the trick is, and the Invincibles didn't win every game. They drew 12 of them, right? The trick is, if you don't win a game, don't lose a game, right? And to be honest with you, I think some of them were worth their point. As I said, they brought a great bit of physicality. I think we played a game against Crystal Palace a few weeks ago where we were probably lucky to shade it. I think we just about deserved to shade it, and we got the 3 points. I think we just about deserved to shade it on Saturday, and we didn't get the 3 points. And over a season, you'll find that that happens. But there's a few things I want to cover. What Craig Pawson let go, and Pawson is one of the referees who annoys me the least. But what he let go on Saturday was shocking. You know, I mean, Sunderland came out to kick us off the park and he let it go. And we don't moan or whinge about that. But Zubimendi then has a slight tug in somebody's jersey, the slightest of tugs, and he gets a yellow card. There's something wrong
It's on my
when you can.
notes.
There's something wrong when you can clump somebody and cause him an injury. I mean, the tackle on Ballard was a borderline red by Ballard on Marina. It was a borderline red card because they were saying on the TV, right? These gobshites that do the analysis. I mean, some of them have actually played the game, and you swear they never had, right? They said, "Well, it's a natural thing to do to get leverage to
Alan
use your
Shearer
arm."
said that.
Well, hold
Well, we know
on, hold
Shearer.
on. Let me cover that because I finished my career as a centre half. It's a natural thing to get leverage if you want to jump in the air. Ballard wasn't jumping in the air. Ballard was going at ground level, right? And he chinned him with his elbow, right? You use your elbow to try and it's maybe for people who haven't played the game, I can try and explain, right? You take 2 steps on your feet and you use your elbow as a kind of a
Shields.
natural thing to get higher in the air. That's not what he did, right? He went with his elbow to take Marino out.
Oh, yeah.
In my view, it was a borderline red card, definitely a yellow card, and a penalty,
Can't see, yeah.
right? Gabriel was also targeted for punishment. But I'm not complaining. I don't want anybody to think that it's sour grapes because it's not. But if Sunderland, my hope is that Sunderland do that against everybody. And if they do, other teams will go up there and lose points. Simple as. They were very impressive in the way they went about the game. Once again, we're playing a team in their pitch with their fans, and there's 10 of them in their own box. We didn't, for once this season, we didn't defend well. Like Declan, I don't know what Declan's doing for the first goal. You can't let the ball bounce. He's got to contest that. And by letting it bounce, it caused all sorts of carnage, right? And that's so unlike him. To be honest, look, we're just going to have to get used to it. Sunderland had the game in the first half on their terms. It was stop start. It suited them. They shut us out and they clumped the ball up long. We didn't do what we normally do. On any other day, we would. Declan decides for some reason to try and jostle into his man instead of attacking the ball. Then it bounces. They get a goal. We come out in the second half and we get serious control of the game. We were terrific in the second half. We got serious control of that game until we went two really, really good goals. The weight on Marino's pass for Saka to hit was great. And also Trossard's goal was our Shavin. It was our Shavin,
Or
you know. The way,
Chavanesque, yeah, you're
oh,
right.
yeah, the way he hit it. Oh,
Yeah,
my God. It was an incredible
it's
goal.
certainly aiming. It reminds me, certainly, of that goal that Chavan scored against Man United at Old
Correct.
Trafford. Yeah,
Correct. And he got one against Liverpool in the four all as
the
well. That
four
was
all,
similar.
yeah.
So then, what disappointed me was actually, and you know, I am an absolute Arteta evangelist, right? I thought the substitution was poor. I don't think we needed to bring Mosquera on to see that game. I think we needed to get control in the middle of the pitch, right? Because we didn't have our usual level of control in the middle of the pitch. And I think by bringing Mosquera on, we gave field position, as they call it in American football, to them. Even, albeit we trusted ourselves for 6 or 7 minutes.
Who would
And
you have
then
brought on,
again,
Eamon, of the substitutes that weren't used? Who would you have brought on yourself to, you know,
Manieri.
wonder, yeah. Yeah, it's a good
Oh, they
point.
brought Manieri to play the game in their half.
Yeah.
Not to play the game in their half,
Yeah.
right? We invited long balls in. And I mean, Declan Rice has been absolutely outstanding this season, but I'm going to criticize him heavily here now, right?
Yeah, it's very rare that you.
Declan Rice decided he was going to be Roy of the Rovers for the last 5 minutes. So we have the ball just inside our own half. We're heading into injury time. We're 2-1 up. And what does he do? He tries a chip from the halfway line. And if he said, well, you know, it nearly worked. I remember coaching fellas and they try worldly things and it doesn't come off. And I'd have a little shout with them. And they said, well, it nearly worked. Do you know what the most important word there is? Nearly. It
Nearly, I
didn't.
was just going to
It
say.
didn't work, right? It didn't work. It gave them possession of the ball. So then they come up the field and Declan is on the edge of his own box and he decides to try and skip through two of them and run after it. He should have built that ball the length of the pitch with a minute and a half to go,
Yeah.
right? He
Yeah.
decided to skip through two of them. It was never on. He just lost his discipline. He became a so unlike him. He became a Roy of the Rovers, and it didn't work. I thought Raya was poor for the goal. He's either got to be out on that in time or not out at all, but not halfway. And I did not like. I love Raya as a goalkeeper. I don't like, if you look at the photograph, I don't like his head being torn away. It means he's only half going for it.
Yeah, I thought he should have come and cleared it. Yeah.
Gabriel got it wrong, and he was beating himself up. I actually thought, in real time on the naked eye, I'm thinking that's a goalkeeper's ball, and he didn't come out quick enough.
Do you
But
think,
that being said,
Eamon, do you think Zubimendi was the wrong player on Ballard who got the flick on, you know, in that position at that time?
Zubimendi, I thought, was our best player.
Yeah, he's quality. Very
You
unlucky
know,
strike there off the crossbar, wasn't he? Yeah.
that being said, if we just step back from it. And I'll finish on this because I know David's bursting to get in, right? I'll finish on this. No, he is, you know, and rightly so. I'll finish on this. We went up there without any attackers against a team that hasn't been beaten at home and won't lose many games at home. We withstood immense physicality. We didn't control the game the way we normally would. We did uncharacteristic bad defending, right? But at the end of the day, we went into the last international break 1 point ahead of Liverpool and 3 points ahead of Man City, and there were 8 points ahead of Liverpool and 4 points ahead of Man City. So everybody just keep the head, keep focused, decent enough result under the circumstances, and let's reset after the international break.
Yeah, before I bring David in, just a quick top of the table. The standings at the moment: Arsenal top 11 played with 26 points, Man City second 11 played 22 points. A massive win that for them yesterday, and the defeat to Liverpool, in my opinion, probably puts them out of the title chase. Chelsea third 11 played with 20, and Sunderland fourth with 19 points.
Jonathan, just what you called out there. If you actually do the maths, 26 points out of 11 games is 95 points.
Stay humble. Stay humble.
Humble, exactly.
Yeah.
So, look, now anybody who's in meltdown because we didn't win a game, just think of it, you know?
It does feel though, sorry, I will bring you in now, David, sorry, but just briefly, Eamon, the draw does feel like a defeat, doesn't it, when
No,
you've been
not to
on
the
such a
players,
good
it
run?
doesn't. No, it doesn't. It doesn't to the players. The only reason why it feels like a defeat to the players is because the time of the game had happened that,
Yeah,
right?
the late
It's the
lead,
supporters. Like the supporters that have actually lost any kind of sense of, you know, perspective. A draw away against a team in the top four who are really at it and who beat Chelsea in Stamford Bridge when things didn't go particularly well for us and we'd no strikers, you know, come on. It's not the worst thing in the world.
Yes, there is worse things. Yeah, we could have lost it. Yeah, there's the I love the Eamon's
Sorry, one last
the
thing that I forgot.
positivity, sorry, coming
Vitaly
from Eamon
Fiori.
at
Sorry,
60
we still created the chance after they scored. And the one person that would have wanted that ball to fall out to was who it did. Marino, if you look at a clip of that again, if he slides that with his right foot along the ground,
It was going
he gets
underneath
an awkward
Ballard and
goal. But he tried to smash it, you
smash it,
know?
yeah. Yeah, actually, to be honest, Cathal Fiori was quite
Sorry,
lucky
Jonathan.
not to
That,
score from
that's
the
me
header.
going.
It's great. The refreshing list of Eamon since he's turned 60, it's just beautiful to see. David, you've been on the touchline there for a while. It's not hard to see Sunderland why they're
These are
so
my
weak.
notes.
So,
I'll go with a different perspective now. Okay. First of all, I'd like to thank Sunderland for the most impressive tifo for the remembrance service at the beginning. I thought it was absolutely amazing, outstanding. Yeah, I thought that was just brilliant. Great way to start. But then all the farewell and remembrance was gone, wasn't it? Because I totally agree, not to go over too much of what you've said, but it was just common assault on Mourinho. I mean, we talk about welfare for players. You know, we had a. Listen, I'm not giving any excuses. These are not excuses. I'm not Arne Slot, right? I just want to state that. But I just want to state a few facts that we all saw. And you can decide whether you think I'm using them excuses or not. But Mourinho, it was assault. It was straight elbow in the temple. It was really, really nasty, right? And the VAR is there to review these things and look at it and go, well, we can't have that. We can't have that in football. There are millions of people watching that game. And for nothing to be said and no action be taken, I thought was disgusting by the referee and the VAR. So let's move on from that. I
Sorry,
thought it was
just
very
briefly,
funny.
David, sorry for cutting across you. If that was, say, Gabriel or Saliba done that to the opposition
It's
forward,
red card. He's
yeah,
off. He's
straight
off.
away,
Take the shirt. It says Arsenal. It's red card and he's off. He's walked. He's gone. But that's not an excuse. It's football. And, you know, if you bring that to the game, obviously the game went violent. We've changed over the years. And, you know, I remember in the old days, that would have been Vieira red card and he'd gone straight in on him, you know, 5 minutes later, two-footed and Ballard would have been off with a broken knee and the guy would have been red card and it would have been like that. But we don't do that anymore. Okay. So we play football. I thought Sunderland was very interesting, humorous, but interesting again that they moved all the hoardings for the advertising 3 or 4 meters or whatever it was closer to the pitch to stop Rice's long throws. Obviously, you know, it was well documented at the time that they need to be at least a meter away from the side of the pitch and all of this sort of stuff. So, you know, they'd looked at it and they decided, yeah, let's close it down. They watered the Arsenal end at half time, that they were attacking, all these little things. It's great. It's really good. It's dark arts. And, you know, it's great that a team sees that they have to do as many things they can because they know how good we are, right? So there's no excuses there. I'm just saying that these are what they did. These are facts. And yeah, I mean, I wish we could be a bit more proactive, maybe. Regarding the actual, yeah, and obviously just to say, of course, the first person to be yellow carded was Zubimendi, who did nothing. No, he's the least violent player on the pitch. Yeah, he's the first person that he's yellowed, which I thought was bizarre. But thank God he stayed on the pitch anyway. Regarding conceding, okay, If we'd have gone out that game and won it 2-1 and not conceded in the last, injury time, it would have been an amazing victory. As it was, we conceded two goals and we drew the game. We didn't lose the game, but we drew the game. Like you say, we went up there with no strikers, but somehow we managed to get two great goals. And I think that the whole goal conceding had become a bit of a hoodoo over Arsenal as well over the last few weeks. It's like everybody's talking about it. You know, why has no one had a shot on target against Arsenal? Why is, you know, you're just putting yourself up to fail. We're not going to go the whole season without conceding. We're not going to go the whole season without having shots on target against us. We'd sort of, through the media, not through Arsenal, but through the media, just as they did it to Liverpool when they started out with five games, we were getting the same. This is the media. They look at any angle, look at the stats. Everything is a stat game now. It's all about, you know, percentages and minutes and goals and, you know, attempted goals and everything, right? You know, everything about it. So that's fair enough. As you rightly said, Eamon, you know, we went into the October break with less points in the gap that we are now. So that's progress. We've had some difficult games. We've got very, very, very difficult games coming up over the next 3 weeks. But you know, so when we get back of the international break, but we have players coming back. We have a lot of players coming back. They'll be a bit rusty, but you know, we need some players. The team is going pretty well. It's a nice little break. I'm hoping that certainly the England players won't play a lot of the minutes over the next 2 weeks with the international, because England have already qualified. So hopefully they might get a run out, which is okay, because you want the players keeping fit. But you know, they're not going to be taxing. They're not panicking to you know, to pull up or whatever. So that's a positive as well. I totally agree with you, Eamon, about Sunderland. For a team that has come up from the Championship and they're now sitting comfortably in the top four, is quite unbelievable considering the other teams that are lying around there. And they have done incredibly well. Sadly, they have two very big games coming up on the 3rd of December and the 6th of December. But they're both away from home. But one of them is against Liverpool and one of them against Manchester City. That's interesting because hopefully they'll take some of that form to those venues. And Xhaka will have absolutely man of the match, blinding games against those two teams, because I still passionately believe he's a gooner. I really do. It was very bizarre to see him playing in that game. He had an unbelievable reception from the travelling Arsenal faithful, which I thought was great to see. And you know, we're just on that. We're on that next international break now, which obviously. It's the last one until like the pre one before the you know March, yeah, exactly before the World Cup. So after this, we can get our heads down, we can get our players back, and as we know, football in this country, in England, starts at Christmas. It doesn't start really in October, September. It's going to start in this run-in now when we come back, and I can't believe that we could be in any better position than we are. We have had injuries. We've got players coming back. We're top of the league. We're points clear over our biggest rivals. Our biggest rivals, who are our biggest rivals? That's the other question. I don't know if it is Liverpool anymore. But, you know, there or thereabouts, all these teams, all these big names, and all these teams, they will all be in the mix for a little while longer. And at the moment, we've got points in them. We're top of the league. We can't ask for more. We're first, second, whatever in the Champions League. We're doing incredibly well. We've had a lot of injuries. We hadn't invested in the summer. There is no way we'd be where we are today. And to say about what happened in the end of the game, and you talked about bringing Nwaneri on, I've got a completely different. Obviously, the whole Rice thing was bizarre. Like you say, you know, blood, you know, rush of blood to the head. But for me personally, because the game was a violent game, and because by that time the ref had started to sort of notice that, I'd have brought Max Dowman on. I'd have brought Max Dowman on to get the ball and run at their defence, and they would have shut themselves because they know that they can kick him and he gets kicked all the time. But he'd go down and we'd get a penalty or a free kick or something that would delay and break up the play because he would just run at them and he would be our outlet to getting us out of that box. Only for the last 4 minutes, just bring him on. That, you know, we bring on Mascara, but we should have just been attacking. We should be getting down their end. We should take it to the corner flag, like, right, you should do. We should go down and make sure that ball is as far away from David Raya and his goal as possible and see out that game, which had been an incredibly difficult game. They had worked their asses, blood, sweat, and tears over that 93 minutes. And yet, it must have been heartbreaking. And yes, for the players, they probably felt they lost that game, even though it kept our undefeated, list going. So yeah, I mean, that's what I would have done. But hey, I'm not Arteta. I can't knock Arteta for where he's taken us and where he is going to take us and where we are. It's immense. The players will learn. Rice will learn from that. We can't really go at Rice. It's the first time he's really had that. These guys are under a lot of pressure. They're having to fill the gaps in. You know, we've had these missing players. They've all come in. They've moved around a little bit. You know, they've been, you know, we played midweek. We've had some hard games over the last few, you know, they've done a bit of traveling and we've had some, they're not excuses. They're just the life of a footballer. Okay.
David, I'm completely on your page. Absolutely, your analysis is spot on. But Declan Rice had a great game. But what I'm saying is
Absolutely.
that for
So,
some
I've got
reason,
it here. I've got it here. Rice immense question mark because just at the end, you know, but
he
this
did
is when you win lose
uncharacteristic
things,
things at
David.
the end. And do you know what? Maybe the sign of a bit of weariness. We were kind of trying to get the ship into shore for the international break. We did
Absolutely.
it. We played a game with no attackers, and again, I wouldn't be critical of Arteta for bringing Mascara on. To my naked eye, I thought either Max or Ethan coming on would have played the game in their half. We did given us an outlet. I agree with you totally. But what I'm saying is that how can you question a manager for bringing Mascara on when we'd only conceded one shot on target in five league games or
Oh,
something like
absolutely.
that.
Look, listen.
So he obviously trusted our ability to see that out. And then Declan went a bit gaga and, look, it was just one of those things. But
Yeah, but the thing is that again, you're right about that. But also, we know as you know, and the listeners will know as experienced vintage Arsenal guys, that you can't go on statistics of what has happened over the last few games. That, you know, no one's taken a shot on us in such a period, and there wasn't that shot. This is football, and these are football, professional footballers, and they're there to create and give them half the chance. Any footballer, any team in this league will punish you, right? And that's the point that I'm trying to make is that we were unlucky in some ways, absolutely. But how many times do you see last minutes? For example, look at Richarlison at Spurs here. I have to mention it. Richarlison at Spurs thinks he's won the game, takes his shirt off, wastes another 2 minutes. They all get back on the pitch. Man United go down the other
You
end,
sound praying for about 3 minutes,
yeah, and snatch a draw. That's football. Okay, that's Spurs, but that's football,
But
right?
David, I'm just thinking, like, when you're talking about Raya, so I was trying to visualize this. If Raya doesn't come out, right? Where's the position going to be in the goal? So if you look at the postcard view that he has, so he sees Gabriel. Gabriel always attacks the ball. So you know Gabriel's going to attack the ball. So you either get there before Gabriel or you don't go at all. I think if it was me in the goal, and by the way, I'm not suggesting for 1 minute that I know anything about goalkeeping. But I'm saying that from my perspective, it was my brain. It was my brain. I'd say Gabriel is definitely going to attack the ball. Therefore, I will stay put. And what happens if he stays put? That connection that Robbie got, which was a great connection, would have gone into the middle of the goal, and David Ray would have just caught it.
It's
Just
a
a quick
it's
one
got
as
some
well,
maybes,
lads.
but I totally agree with you. You know, anyway, listen,
Get
we
on
are
with
where
it.
we are. We are where we are.
David
We got a
O'Leary.
2 week break.
It's as David said, after this international break, the game's come ticking fast. Ayrton will play 14 matches in all competitions from November 23rd to January the 13th. So you're nearly playing, you know, it goes of a tour of the season between November to January, you know. So
Or everybody else.
yeah. It's getting our forward line back is going to be key, you know. And I think we did lack Saturday, you know. But look, we came out 2-2, as Eamon says in the preview tours that we done. Sunderland are unbeaten at home this season for a reason, you know. They're solid, they're resolute, very well organized team, and I think they will stay up 20 points off the magic 40 points. And there is the picture before we finish up. Liam
Yeah,
Brady,
it's on the
that is
yeah, it's at the
that's
stadium.
absolutely quality.
New iconic images of Liam and then a signed short. Beautiful. And I'm so grateful. Thank you so much, you know.
Yes,
Fantastic.
that is a lovely touch from the Dublin Arsenal Supporters Club, Eamon. That's quality. Very quickly, lads. Man of the match from Saturday for ourselves, starting with Eamon.
Trossard.
Yeah, Trossard all day long. Yeah, David.
Yeah. Trossard, you can't, you know, can't go past him.
Yeah.
Definitely Trossard.
The celebration, that celebration in front of the fans is just really, he's just so cool and calm, but he's just so quick footed, isn't he? You know, he's just,
Cable ties in the
yeah.
belt, Jonathan.
Yeah.
Ole,
Yeah, the ice just cut through you, don't he? But
yeah.
it's cutting through every defence, and the shots are going in, and that's all that matters. Yes, I'd just like to thank my guests as always for their superb analysis tonight. Very well put it together. Eamon Donnelly, thanks very much, pal. You've turned 60, you're into a new era. And also by
Get
David
over
Sim. David
it.
Sims, thanks very much, pal, better known as Score Guy. Of course, catch our show on Spotify and the Dublin Arsenal YouTube channel. And check us out in the River Bar for the big North London Derby on November the 23rd against Tottenham, of course. But until then, have a great week. And we'll see you after the international break, lads. Come on, you Gunners.
Cheers, guys.